Welcome back. Well, the second quarter unemployment rate has skyrocketed to levels last seen during the 2008-2009 financial crisis. The unemployment rate sits at 29%, while the expanded definition, that's inclusive of discouraged job seekers, sits at an all-time high of 38.5%. And the unemployment rate amongst the youth is even higher, at 56%. What is clear is that education levels do matter, with the graduate unemployment rate sitting at 9%. Sizwe Hasana, who's chair of the IKUSASA Student Financial Aid Program, joins us to discuss youth unemployment, education and bridging the gap. Thanks so much, Sizwe, for joining us this
Thanks
evening.
Very much.
So there we have it. South Africa's jobless rate now close to 30%. It's hit an 11-year high. And yes, this is shocking. But surely you aren't surprised at the extent to which this figure is escalating given the low to no growth environment.
Absolutely, I mean, that's correct. But there are a number of structural issues that we have to fix as a country. For instance, if you look at, you know, the underlying reasons for this increasing unemployment rate, which is really bad, it's especially bad for young people. There are a number of things that as a country we need to sort out quite quickly. So that we can stimulate economic growth, we can stimulate, you know, job creation on a sustainable basis and so on. And this includes, by the way, you know, just dealing with the issue of dropouts of learners in the education system, particularly between grades 9 and 12, because mm-hmm. we all know that every year there are more than 400,000 young people who exit the education system and are just not prepared for the world of work. So something really urgent has got to be done. And the Department of Basic Education is starting to address this problem, for instance, by introducing the three-stream curriculum, because our curriculum up to now has been almost 100% academic. So they're introducing the vocational curriculum as well as the technical curriculum. So that's the first thing. So we've got to stem that dropout rate in that level. But when you go further on, clearly, you know, there's something that needs to be done about the production of skills, especially relevant skills, given just where we are as a country, where the world is going, especially with the future of work. So we've got to address some of these fundamental issues. But you're absolutely correct. There's some structural issues around our economy, mm-hmm. which is very concentrated around big corporates, big business, big government, big labor, that we've got to do something about to really, in a meaningful way, support these small and medium enterprises.
We'll be drilling down into the nitty-gritty of some of the facets you've highlighted. But before we do, I want to take a look at, given the fact that we've got these structural inefficiencies that persist within the South African economy, does the YES program, the SME fund, do initiatives like this actually work in the current environment, or do we simply have to look longer term?
We have to take a long-term view. Whilst we have to fix these short-term problems and try and create opportunities for employment in the short term, at the end of the day, we have to take the long-term view. If, for instance, you look at the Youth Employment Service, mm-hmm. of course it's created a number of jobs, but nowhere near the numbers that were indicated. And if you look at the underlying, the root cause of that, it is obviously linked to the very low economic growth. But on the other hand, it's linked to the fact that a lot of these young people do not have the skills that are required to be absorbed in a very sustainable and meaningful way in the economy. But also, when you look at the SME fund, it's a great idea. But again, you know, without creating a proper ecosystem that supports small and medium enterprises, it's quite difficult for a lot of SMEs to even access this kind of funding. Because yes, we've got the more than billion, almost billion and a half, that's been allocated to the SME fund, but the absorptive capacity of especially early stage enterprises is really a problem, because often you find that a lot of the funds to which the SME fund has been allocated are looking at some track record, and very often that track record is simply not there.
So at this stage of the game then, how much of the gap is the IKUSASA Student Financial Aid Program managing to bridge?
Well, we obviously addressing the issue of students that can qualify to go to university. So it's already students and people that are already privileged, bearing in mind that out of 100 young people that start grade one, only a small fraction, about 40 or so, may finish matric. And out of 40 that finish matric, there are probably about 10, that end up at university, because some have to go to community colleges or TVET colleges, and then you have the university. So, yes, we're catering for the top end in that we are addressing particularly the occupations in high demand. In other words, the critical skills that our economy needs.
What are those?
So they include data scientists. So, for instance, if you look at, you know, the advent of the fourth industrial revolution, the need for big data, of people who understand how to, you know, for instance, deal with big data, from people who are doing computing, to analysts, to people who, for instance, understand the combination of statistics and IT, there's a huge need across, especially the financial service sector, but even in other sectors, for some of those skills. And then we have medical doctors, we have other health scientists that we support, we have actuaries, we have accountants. So it's really occupations in high demand. Every 2 years, the Department of Higher Education and Training and Science and Innovation, because that's, you know, what they call the occupations in high demand. So we focus on those.
And you ensure then academic success. But academic success is one thing. Are these academic successes actually getting into the job market successfully, Sizwe? Because you also highlight, you know, things like companies jumping on board and partnering with the program, especially because they can tailor their intake of students to the skills demand of that specific company. But how correlated is that to the actual intake of students at the end of the day?
Yeah, because we have organized business who are supporters of the Ikusasa Student Financial Aid Program. Already you have a very clear sense of the kind of degrees that those employers, because they include the public sector as well, those employers are interested in. So by the time you select young people to get into university, you're already directing them, you know, to those occupations in high demand that had an offtake. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing is to stem the dropout rates. In other words, to reduce the dropout rate. So, I mean, our dropout rate is really low. Our success rate has been at around 92% in degrees that typically have very high dropout rates. Because if you can stop, you know, the leakage in the system, in other words, students dropping out, finding themselves as not employed, not in education and training, the so-called NEETs, then we start to address the issue. The third thing is to make sure that those students are placed in appropriate, sustainable, high-paying jobs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's how they start to pay taxes, support families, and therefore grow the economy.
As you, you know, cater to the supply pipeline, if we can call it that, in terms of skills into this economy, with skewed supply-demand metrics, a feature of a slow-growing economy, Sizwe, how rife is the risk of a brain drain emerging and skills exodus hitting South Africa even harder than it already has?
Well, we can deal with that problem of brain drain because obviously, I mean, if you talk about data sciences and all the skills that we are producing through Ikusasa together with the universities, they would be in high demand all over the world. So the important thing is, you know, if we're focusing on students, particularly that come from poor working class backgrounds, they're more likely to stay here because their families and everything else. But also the private sector that's involved in, you know, supporting ISFA particularly, you find that, you know, they already have opportunities for employment in this country. They may give exposure, international exposure to the students because that's important as part of the building of their skills and so on. But at the end of the day, a lot of them are more likely to come back here because there are contractual obligations, including that, you know, make sure that those students come back and serve their country.
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there, Sizwe. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Sizwe Sana is chair of the Ikusasa Student Financial Aid Program.